Hello everybody, nice to talk to you again. I trust that you've been enjoying this good weather. I have to say, I have sat out a couple of times during this past few weeks. I've often said to you that I respond to the sun very favourably indeed. And I have to say, I have taken a few hours off during the week and enjoyed the sun. I'm going to read to you a few verses because what I have to say is does refer to the wee bit to the weather, but I want us to read from Philippians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read two verses which I compared with the weather and the circumstances in which we find ourselves in these days. But let's read together these two verses first of all. Philippians chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. Paul says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. That means that somehow they had been caring for Paul's needs. There was a little bit of a blip in that, something that took place. They didn't have opportunities, says Paul, but it's now restored and they're now looking after his needs. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. When I came out into the study this morning, I noticed that there were clouds in the skies, and they're talking about rain. They also said yesterday, or was this morning, that this April has been the warmest, sunniest April on record. And the sun has been shining nearly every day. But then the clouds came, and the rain is forecast for tomorrow. But I noticed that even in the dull morning that it was this morning, the birds were still singing. They were still singing. And it mattered not that there were black clouds in the sky, the sun shining again. But it mattered not that the clouds were in the sky, it mattered not that it was cold and blowing. They were still singing. And I wonder, would that be a reflection of our hearts? It doesn't matter whether the sun is shining or whether there's clouds in our lives. Does it steal the song of our hearts? Does it steal the song of our lives? And I have a lovely little text here. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Paul's writing, thanking the Christians for caring for him, for looking after him. He's thanking them for a gift that they sent him, whether it was food parcel, whether it was clothes, whether it was money, or whether it was all three. He's thanking them. He sees their care as a response, their response to the Lord who put him on their hearts. And he also goes on to say how that it was an indication of their care, compassion and consideration. And it was an evidence of their walk with God. But then Paul also goes on to say that even when he was had little to wear and little to eat, he still said that he was content. He's content in those situations. He was content in the situation in which he found himself. And that's a wonderful lesson for us to learn in these days. The attitude of our hearts. There's Paul. He's wrongly accused. He's imprisoned for no offence. He's probably chained to another guard. Very likely he has been refused many of the luxuries that we enjoy on a daily basis. But does he go on hunger strike? Does he throw a pity party? Does he get people to start lobbying the government? Does he call in the highest top legal, top brass? No. He has learned that in whatever state that he was in, to be content. Even though he feels hard done by. Even though he feels that he deserved better. You see, there's something about Paul's heart that's been dealt with. And that is that sense of greed and selfishness and envy and jealousy. Those things that give us more trouble than anything else. Because if I have greed and jealousy and envy in my heart, then I'm always going to be angry at everybody else who doesn't have the same restriction and the same emptiness that I have. Paul has a contentedness. His contentedness is born from his relationship with God. You see, he says further on in chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, my God shall supply all my needs. Actually, he goes on to say, my God shall supply all your needs. And he's speaking from experience. Because what he's really saying is, whenever I was in need, whenever I was lonely, whenever I was sad, whenever I was down, whenever I was needy, God put me on someone else's heart. And God moved their hearts to provide for my needs. So, whilst it was the hand of people that fed him and clothed him, he knew that it came, it was motivated by God himself in their hearts. And there are three wee things, I'm not going to expand on them. First of all, he had this deep relationship with God which resulted in his total confidence and contentment in God, because he knew that God was able. God was able. God would find a way to get the needs that he had to him. God is able. God is able to meet you at the point of your need. God is able to come to where you are. Maybe you're lonely, maybe you're sad, maybe you're fearful. And as in the next little talk, we're going to talk about another aspect to our relationship with God. But God is able. He knows how to get to your heart, to provide for your need. He knows how to allay your fears. He knows how to give you confidence in the midst of all the negativity that's going on. God is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Not only does he think about the ability of God, but he also thinks about the avenues by which God uses to get to him. The avenues. Elijah, it was ravens. And when it came to paying the tax, it was a fish with a coin in his mouth. I don't know whether the fish thought it was you know how fish go for shiny objects. Whatever caused the fish, it certainly, Jesus knew which fish to send to the shore at that particular time. God has many avenues by which he can bring his blessing. Problem is that we don't necessarily listen clearly to whatever God is saying. And maybe there are avenues that God is seeking to use to get blessing to your heart. And just maybe, God wants you to be an avenue to be blessing to someone else. Pick up the phone, talk to someone, send a little emoji, send a little message, send an email, send a little card. Go on to funkypigeon.com or some of those websites and say to someone you are specifically thinking of them. Send it to one of our missionaries. Send it to someone that you know. It doesn't mean to say that you have to know that they're needing anything. But just as you would go with the impulse of your heart. Because maybe God is moving your heart today to write someone, to give something to someone at this time. God uses many different avenues. Isn't it wonderful to be an avenue of blessing to someone? I think it is. But then also, he thinks about the abundance. He says, I've had plenty and I've had little. But nevertheless, he says, I've never gone wanting. Oh, the abundance of our great God. What is the abundance of our God as far as we're concerned? Well, the abundance of our God, he gives peace in the midst of the storm. He gives joy in the midst of sadness. He gives us plenty to eat and plenty to contemplate and meditate upon in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. And I trust that you're content in the state that you find yourself today. And may God bless you in your heart. May he move upon your spirit. And may he graciously visit your home. And whether there's clouds in the sky or the sun is shining, I trust that you know his presence in a very real way. I would ask prayer for Sunday coming. We're looking into God's word and we're looking especially at the relationship that Satan, the part that Satan plays in Job's sufferings. And so as we think about that, we want to learn, but we want to be encouraged. So we value your prayers as we prepare in these days. Let's just bow together in a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the fact that we can be contented in Christ. He fills up where we're lacking. He meets our every need. He says he's not far from any one of us. And we can truly rest in the assurance of his love, his grace, and his goodness for us in these days. That even whatever situation, whether we're at work, whether we're at home isolated, whether we're not in what is deemed as a work of necessity, Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one. For those, Lord, who are frail, Lord, I ask that you'll meet their need today. Thank you for your wonderful love, for who Christ is. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, and enjoy whatever God gives to you today. Be content with it, and thank him for it. See you tomorrow.